people, no matter what our age is. Yet it is true that as we age, it becomes hard to retain a lot of things. But even if you are young, it doesn't mean that memorization is your strong set. There is somebody who saw this issue and came up with an idea. In 1947, Robert William and Richard Darney, brothers in the small village of East Texas, started their own mail order business in a chicken coop, printing calendars for churches. In 1952, a lawyer named Morris Perkins walked into Darney's printing and ordered a desk diary that he had been using to keep track of time spent on clients. The idea turned into a partnership between Perkins and Darney, forming what we know as the Daytimer. Lawyer's Day was the first one, and it became a successful series of diary, memo, planning, and time recorded books. 1960, Daytimer planners are created for other professionals such as accountants, doctors, and executives. The business grows from a small family operation into a substantial business with 250,000 customers, almost exclusively through the medium of direct mail. That was 1960. Man, a lawyer and some brothers and a chicken coop somewhere came up with that. Right? You'd be like, no way, in a chicken coop. If the Lord told you that you could start a business today, but you need to start in a chicken coop, how are you going?
No.
Let's say only one. He's going to be successful the rest of his life. But God, can we have it a little different? We always want to kind of negotiate with God. Can it be, can I do it in the office? Can I do it on the beach? These guys started something, a lawyer saw an idea, and they partnered together.
Awesome.
Well, these Daytimers became, and now they're owned by a totally different company. Believe it or not, it was a company that was in tobacco. But they started seeing how the Daytimers did so well, they abandoned tobacco, and this became their thing.
That's awesome.
And they make the books we know as Mead, Five Star, Glance, they make all that. That's where all that came from. I was like, wow. What makes such a thing? Well, a lawyer knew what we knew, what we know now. I need to be reminded of certain tasks, appointments. I need to stay on schedule. I need to have a reminder.
Yeah.
Turn me over to Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament. You know, the word remind is mentioned in the Bible 22 times in 9 different translations. Just wanted to see, you know, the word. But there are so many other instances in the Bible where God is constantly reminding us not to forget him. Or as he said, do not forget the Lord your God. Jesus reminds us to stay faithful. Paul reminds us to stay faithful. It is a constant reminder for us to stay close to God. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to be reminded so much?
Yeah.
We are forgetful people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, I only can speak for America. We're working in a very stressful environment. In America, we go, 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 push, push, push. We push until either you just get tired, you collapse, and sad to say, some people get sick and fall ill from it.
Yep.
That's one of the American ways, okay? And so, but with a lot of stress, we tend to forget stuff.
Yep.
We tend to forget. And believe it or not, that's traumatizing in itself.
Yeah.
But in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I love this, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things again to you. And it is a safeguard for you. Mm. Well, let's talk about point one. Why is it so important to be reminded or to have reminders? Because reminders are a safeguard. They are a safeguard. You know, taking care of my wife, Cherise, it's been a wonderful thing, a great thing. I've gotten good at it. But the VA sends me constant reminders about all her appointments. If they would not send me those reminders, I'd be lost. Mm-hmm. I get some of the older folks who came before me were always right on the calendar. I got doctors for a doctor's appointment.
Right.
But you know, the VA's made it so much easier now. They're like, here's a letter so you don't forget, you don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Reminders. It reminds me that she has an appointment and it's important that I keep it. You know, I think about bills. Now that's probably reminders we don't want to be careless about. And don't send me no reminder that I got to owe you a bill or something. That's just what most Americans feel. But you know, man, following Jesus, walking with God, God says, leave no debt unpaid except for the debt of love.
Yeah.
Yep.
We need those reminders that I need to make it right with this bill. I need to square with this bill. No matter how hard and challenging it is. I think the answer to that is don't create no further unnecessary debts.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're young and starting out, don't begin to create no unnecessary debt because it will fall in. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. You know, I think about my daughter, and this shared a lot of personal things with you. I think about my daughter. You know, she's on the list for a kidney transplant. And so, you know, we got a letter, and so we're going to be traveling to Memphis because we got to go for this pre-op thing. But, you know, they send reminders to us about, hey, you got this appointment. I always got to take her to a clinic somewhere here. Without those reminders, I would be lost. I would be in trouble. You know, without God reminding me how important it is to stay close to Him, I would be far worse than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, safeguards, reminders, they protect you from unnecessary disappointments.
Mm.
Yep.
They just do. There's nothing worse than somebody asks you to do something and you forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it pretty hard because they were expecting you to come through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only trauma for them, but it is for you also.
Yeah.
It's just so hard. Oh, I dropped the ball. I didn't mean to. Now, sometimes people are like, oh, it's no big deal. It wasn't urgent. But sometimes it's like, no, I really need it to happen on this day at this time so I can get this done. Reminders are safeguards. Do you view reminders as safeguards? You know, you need to welcome the reminder because it is a safeguard for you in your future. And the things that happen. Turn to Romans 5:6. You know, Paul continues in his whole message here about reminding them, and he's telling them, he basically just warns them about watching out. But he calls it watch out for those dogs, those mutilators of the flesh. People who are really just trying to get at you and do harm to you, who do not have your best intention at heart. But over in chapter 5, we're going to read something, Romans chapter 5. And we need to be reminded about the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think we forget about things that have been done for us. But Romans chapter 5, let me get there. Verse 6, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While you were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to be reminded about the importance of a sacrifice made for you. You know, my parents, they have sacrificed a lot. I love the story my mom shares. It's great when you have a parent who's going to tell you about how they came up and the things that they did to provide for you.
Yeah.
Because we as kids, we think, well, it's your job to provide for me. But you fail to realize it's a choice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may have been foolish and didn't plan to have you. And so I may feel like I don't want to be in your life or want this part of responsibility in my life. And it happens. When I moved to Mississippi, it was the first time that I was introduced to a lot of women who didn't want their child.
Huh.
It just shocked me because I grew up in a home with two parents. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want their kids. And it was just like, what? It's like foreign language
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
I just never experienced. But it doesn't mean it wasn't going on, not only in Mississippi, other places, just that it was new to me. You know, and so, but I've even met moms who like, well, we're gonna let grandparents take care of them. You know, my kids talked about that and said, no, we don't roll that way. We don't do that here. I am not raising your kids.
Ah,
I will not do it. I said, but what I will do is warn you, do not have kids until you are ready.
That's right.
Do not, you make sure you're ready, because this is another little human being you're bringing in the world. And I don't care what they say about 18, but they're going to be with you a lot longer than 18.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to weed them off your pocket. When they understand what money does and where money comes from, they're going to be attached to you. They don't think money comes from the bank. They're like, no, money comes out your pocket. Because every time I ask you, you come up with money. But, you know, it was the first time I was introduced to that, you know, there were some moms like this. Not every mom, but some moms, they're just like, no, I didn't want to. And I met dads who, they have the kids. And the mom said, it's cool with me, you know. But, you know, my mom and dad and other parents, they make sacrifices.
Yeah.
They made a choice to say, yeah, I love you and I'm going to provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I planned for you to happen or not, I'm going to raise you. And it's going to be all right. And my mom and dad went through a lot of things making those type of sacrifices. And I understand that sacrifice. And therefore, I see value in the sacrifice that they made. Because just like me, they were young at one time and they had dreams too. But when you have kids, a lot of your dreams get set to the side.
Yeah,
yep.
You have to make a choice.
Yep.
It's not about me no more. It's about this little guy, this little girl I gotta raise up.
That's right.
Do you appreciate the sacrifices that have been made for you? Whether it was by a grandparent, a parent, an aunt, or an uncle. Somebody made sacrifice to see to it that you made it this far.
That's right.
Do you appreciate that? You know, my mom and dad, I think my dad had an 8th grade education, got in the Army, went through a lot. My mom wouldn't marry him unless he had a plan to take care of the family. Army was his only way. If I remember, my mom tells me he never did pass the test, but he kept going back, and the guy kept seeing his perseverance and him going at it, that the guy led my dad into the Army. I said, wow, that's amazing. Did 20 years, retired. But my dad was determined to make sure that I had the best that he could offer. You know, God, when it comes to us, he says, you know what, I want to make sure that you can have the best that I can offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be Jesus.
Right.
Are you grateful for Jesus? Are you grateful for God giving you his best? He gave you his own, his blood, his son, because he wants you and I to make it. He wants you and I to see the value in his sacrifice because he loves you so much. God says, take note of this. There was a time in your life when you were powerless.
Yep, sure was.
Isn't that a miserable feeling to be powerless when you can't do nothing? And we know what that feels like. We've had moments in our life where we feel like there's nothing I can do and this is just horrible. And you just feel so bad. You're like, I can't do nothing about it. I can't do nothing about it except go for this ride. I just got to ride this thing out. I can't do nothing about it. And you feel like it's killing me. But God says, you're going to be all right. But no, Lord, it's killing me because I can't do nothing about it. This is how God saw you. God said you were powerless. You couldn't do nothing about it. But I sent Jesus. He said you were powerless to sin while you was in sin and didn't know what sin was and sin was dominating your life. I came up with a plan to send Jesus. He said I knew this was the only thing that could make it right. This was the only way that could give you a chance so that you and I could have a chance to connect, to grow closer together, to build with one another. And hopefully in the end, we would spend eternity together. Do you value the sacrifice that God offered for you? That God gave up for you? And I can only imagine with Jesus and God looking at this, and Jesus taking on this flesh form, on all our attributes as humans of what you're thinking. Because, you know, we can think crazy. Some of our minds can get to running. You're like, you know, God's like, calm your mind. Some of our minds can get to running. But I can imagine Jesus thinking, man, I believe in my Father. My Father's going to do right. All right, you're going to raise me now. But once I go through this torture, you're going to raise me from the grave, right? All right, we're going to raise up, you know. I can imagine, you know, Jesus, because he's human. He has all our things. He deals with all of our doubts and our negativity. He knows that God is his Father, is Almighty. But still, when you take on human attributes, you start to think negatively. Think about it. God tells you all the time what? You can do anything. Mm-hmm. But we tend to beat ourselves up and think, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I was sharing with my wife the other day. I said, you know, I'm going to be the first one in my family to write a book. I said, this is amazing.
Wow.
It's like, something like, is this really real happening? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to talk about it all the time, but it's another thing to say, I got to get busy and put the work in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was telling her, I said, you know, for so long I prayed, and I said, God, will you just do it for me? That's how we pray. Lord, okay, this is what I want to happen. And we're saying that, but in our mind we're saying, will you just do this for me? Mm-hmm. And I think we forget the part where God said, well, you know, I hear the prayer, but God, you're going to have to participate in this. You need to participate and do your part. It's your dream. It's your vision. I have allowed you to dream and take hold of it. I have made great sacrifices so that you could be a light in this world. Do you see the value in the sacrifice? Do you see the value in what God gave up for you? Do you see the value? You know, do you see value in the choice that God made for you? He sacrificed his own so that you could have a chance. What are you willing to sacrifice in this world so that you and God can build and be one? We're going to turn over to Hebrews. So we talk about, remember that reminders are a safeguard, but we also talk about being reminded of the sacrifice. But open Hebrews chapter 10. This is a very familiar scripture. Also needed. Never get tired of it. Paul said, hey, doesn't bother me to say the same things to you over and over again. He says, because you need to hear it. Why? Because we are forgetful people. And as you get older, I'm going to talk about me. I don't know about anybody older like me, but as you get older, I have a category that says, I just don't want to remember it. I would not retain it because it's just like, it's too much. It's like, this is not worth retaining. It's whatever. And I have another slide that says, it'll go back here somewhere. I don't even know how far, but as far as back in my head, it's just going to go back here. I'm pretty sure it'll pop back up when it needs to pop back up. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the things you get always like, my mind needs to be free. My mind needs to be clear. When I need to deal with something, yes, I will bring it back up there. But other than that, no, I don't want to remember. And I guess you can say that's me kind of being forgetful. But Paul says we need to be reminded on a regular basis. And over in Hebrews 10, I love this, and he speaks here. It says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, we need to be reminded to be steadfast. We just do.
Amen.
We need to be reminded to be steadfast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll take a quick turn and go off somewhere else. Sometimes we forget, like, you know, I'm supposed to be committed to this right here. We'll run off and go do something else. We need to be steadfast. We need to be reminded to be consistent. Mm-hmm. To be consistent. Wow.
Amen.
We know what inconsistency looks like.
Yeah.
We'll get like that sometimes. But we need to be reminded to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be reminded to encourage and push one another toward doing good deeds.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe there's somebody who's doing like 500 good deeds. Amen. I applaud you. I'm going to encourage you. That's you. But maybe you're only good for doing one good deed.
It's okay.
God never put a quota and said, you got to do this many good deeds and you got to do this less many good deeds. And God said, you just got to be busy doing good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key factor today.
Right.
But you got to be consistent. So if you're doing one, be consistent in doing one good deed a week. I don't know.
Amen.
If you're doing 500 a week, I pray for you. Hope your blood pressure's okay. You know, I mean, on too many medications or anything like that. Don't want you to end up in the ER. I know somebody in the ER. Don't want you to end up in the ER. If it's not serious, you will be waiting in the waiting room. I know this from experience at any ER anywhere. But man, you know, that's a lot. Amen. You know, we need to be reminded to never give up meeting together.
That's right.
I tell you. We are trained. When it comes to the weekend, we know that Saturday is our time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be like, well, I really want Sunday to be my time too. Well, I got to get up part of Sunday morning. Well, I have to get that up. You don't understand? But we need each other.
That's right.
We need each other. When you leave this group and you go back out into the world's just ready to eat you and gobble you up.
Mm-hmm.
All the world's problem lands on your lap. Whatever job you're working in. All the world problem lands on your lap, whatever neighborhood you're in, whatever community you're in, whatever city, it's just waiting on you. But when you come together with fellow believers who are all willing to pledge their life to Jesus Christ, who is God's greatest disciple, and our example of what a disciple looks like, we feel safe.
That's right.
We feel secure.
Amen.
We're light-minded. Man, there are no dread, there's no trauma in here, no drama, anything like this. This love is great. Doesn't have to end. Can we fellowship forever? I remember saying, I used to hate to leave church. Like, God, I gotta go back out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we just lock the doors and make it a better stay? But that's when you feel that love, you feel that encouragement.
Yeah.
You feel when people build you up.
Amen.
You got brothers and sisters that will challenge you, and you're like, it's okay, challenge me, man. Because yeah. I know this is just love. I feel great. It just builds you up. It's important to not give up meeting together. God reminds us of that. Because if you stop meeting with this group, you will start meeting with another group.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so the other group ain't going to be right. I guarantee you.
Yep.
They're going to do things not God's way, but their way. But God reminds us. He will not contend with us for more than 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he reminds you to remain faithful as you see the day of the Lord approaching.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get distracted. We can't get too caught up in this world thinking like, I'm going to live forever. I was young once, basketball player, run good, do all kinds of things. And then I was reminded of my immortality when I had a knee injury. God said, you're only human, brother. It's okay. It's okay. The day of the Lord is approaching. Whether you leave here first and go meet him, or whether you hear when God comes back and everything ends in a big bang. We need to be reminded that the day of the Lord is approaching.
Right.
And we'll be knowing that and reminded of that, we'll fight hard to do good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fight hard to be consistent.
Amen.
We'll fight hard to encourage and push one another. We'll fight hard to be steadfast in our walk with God.
That's right.
That's what we'll do. I think that's one of the greatest reminders you can ever know, is that my time is limited here. God says in the Old Testament, Genesis 6:3, that he won't contend with man but 120 days.
Yes.
It's amazing when people live to be 100. We're like, wow, you live to be 100.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But you know, scientists say that, you know, people don't live to be in their 70s. But God said, I'll give you 120, that's about the most. But God lets you know, calling you back at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready to come home. No matter when I call you, I want you to be at peace.
Yes.
You need to be at peace. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. When the Lord calls, I'm ready to go. I'm good. I was sharing with a guy the other day, and I was actually sharing with my daughter's boyfriend, and I was telling him, I said, you know, one of the biggest fears I read, I said, this is so true, for a parent, is that When a person is a parent, when they're right with God and have a great relationship with God, their struggle is not leaving here. that struggle is leaving a child behind in this world.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so true as a parent.
Yes, it is.
When you're at peace with God, you're like, I'm good. The Lord called me. But the struggle is, I don't want to leave my baby behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wish I had more say in that. Mm. But this comes to God. You just got to pray. You got to trust me. Your parents have moved on, and you're doing okay. Your kids will be okay. But it's all about what we institute with them, and we pray for them. We need to constantly be reminded to do good deeds, stay faithful to God, because the day of the Lord is approaching. Galatians 6, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Galatians chapter 6. So we know reminders are a safeguard for us. We need to treasure that. We need to be reminded of a great sacrifice that was made on our behalf so that we may have an opportunity to build and grow with our Father in heaven and follow his greatest example of what a disciple looks like, and that is Jesus. And we need to be reminded to not give up meeting together, to be steadfast, to be consistent, and to always be reminded that the day of the Lord is approaching. And over in Galatians chapter 6, starting verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest.
Amen.
If we do not give up.
Amen.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Amen.
Man, we are reminded to not get tired. And I'm going to tell you, we get tired. The older you get, naps are good. When I was in Texas and I was hanging out with Pierre said, man, oh, a nap is good. I said, they are. They are very good. Them things, now, that's something to be treasured and valued as you get older.
That's right.
A nap is amazing.
Yep.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know? But, you know, God says, in our walk with him, as we're walking and following Jesus, God's like, not grow tired in doing good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what makes you grow tired in doing good? It's when you see all the bad in the world.
Mm-hmm.
All the evil. Why won't people just do right?
Right.
Ask, why won't they just do right? Is it really that hard to just do right?
Yes.
And then we feel like, I just don't want to do good no more because this one individual ain't going to do right.
Right.
You know, but I think about the story of God and Elijah. When Elijah felt like, Lord, ain't nobody left in this world good but me. It'll kill everybody. And God's like, yeah, what's going on here? I got so many more prophets over here doing stuff. I got so many old people over here doing stuff. You just need to take a bath. You just need to relax and you need to rest. And I'm paraphrasing, but he tells him that you need to rest. There's just a lot going on. And we can feel like, we can feel overwhelmed, like,
yep.
It ain't worth fighting for. It just is not worth fighting for. And God says, don't go tired. Don't go weary on me. There's other people out here working for me. There's other people out here doing good. You need to know that. And he says, but you need to be faithful. Don't go tired.
Yes.
If it becomes overwhelming, take a nap. Just take a nap. Just rest for a little bit. Let your mind rest. Let your body rest. And get back up and do it again.
Right.
I have had many days personally myself. Being here and being in another church, like I said, I'm just tired. I'm just done. I'm tired. And Teresa would tell me, take a nap. She would tell me, take a nap, man. I'm like, whatever. And I would take a nap and get back up. I feel good. Like, let's go. She would look at me, be laughing. And I was like, whatever. You know, but she was right. Like, you just need rest. The mind needs to rest. The body needs to rest. All that emotions and feelings, all that needs to rest.
Yep.
And when you're recharged from that nap, you're ready to take on the world. And that's so true. Can I get like, all right, what are you doing? I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
But God says, don't grow tired. You're doing good. And the only way you're able to do that is you need to be good stewards of your body and allow your body to rest. He says, do not grow tired in doing good to all people. I want to say something to you guys. Be careful to not allow your biased opinion to cause you to miss out on an opportunity to serve other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can be biased. It's just who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is sitting out there.
If somebody's doing something you don't like, or they're doing it the way that you don't like it, or you feel like they can go get a job or whatever, your biased views kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to serve them. Yeah. And God, like, you just missed an opportunity.
Right.
You do good to all.
That's right.
Amen. We have to pray about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me not to be a biased individual, but help me to be a wise individual. Show me when it is the right time for me to help, and when it's the right time for me not to help. Because some of you could be like, well, okay, Cindy said, don't be biased, we help everybody. Well, I know you didn't sell the house, you didn't give everything up. You homeless. You homeless. Dude, you were supposed to get the homeless guy everything. And if you help, you know, but it's like, no, you got to pray for wisdom. Yeah. You got to like, okay, I can help him a little bit, but I can't give him everything.
Right.
You know, I love the story when Peter, and I think it's Peter and John, they're walking, and the guy's begging, and he says, help me, help me. And Peter said, I have no money to give you. But what he offered him is Jesus Christ. What we can do is offer people Jesus Christ. I'm not saying preach to them, but do what Jesus would do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just give me some personal hygiene stuff. Let's give you some food or something. Let's give you a word of advice. I don't know about your mental state. I don't know all about that. But I know that there are many resources in the surrounding counties in the city that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
I can point you there.
That's right.
And if you meet somebody who is of sound mind, you're like, you can do it. You just have to want to do it.
Yep.
There's not a person here, I tell you right now, if I was a gazillionaire, they advertise on TV and say, look, if I offer to take care of you the rest of your life, we quit your job. You have anything you want, much money you want. Of course you're going to quit. I'm free. I'll take care of you. No problem. I'll make sure you have access to $100,000 every month. You're going to quit. But God said, it's not going to work for you.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to work for you.
Mm-mm.
You thought you were the rich before. There'll be no name for what you have become now. But people can make a choice of what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a choice. Don't be a biased person. But be a wise person.
Amen.
Be a wise person. And finally, in closing, God says, in his final part of the script, he says, let us do good to all people. We just talked about that, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a special place with God. God wants to do good to everybody, but he says especially to the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure we do good to one another.
Amen.
Help one another. Encourage one another. Push one another. Do good with each other. And let's all be open to when people are trying to help us.
Yeah.
They can't help in every way, but whatever help they bring to you, be grateful and say thank you.
Amen.
That's what I find myself doing all the time. I said thank you. Thank you. I went to Belk's the other day and I was trying to pair pants. I was like, and you know, you get old, you're like, I don't know what it is. And maybe it's just me. I like, I just want some good material clothes. Because like, I want to own it for years and I have to pay some more for it. See, pants are very expensive. Oh, I don't spend that much. So I go to the counter. I said, how much are these pants? I said, I like these brands. So she said, well, the original tag is $70. I'm like, well, I won't be paying for that.
Yeah.
And she said, but there's a discount for $44.99. I said, oh, okay, give me a little. Hold on. And she went on, she got a coupon. She said, okay, it's $33. I said, I'll pay you for that. Now, I could have been picky and said it's still too much, but wait a minute. They were originally $70. Got down to $44, and then she found coupons for $33. That was a bargain for me on my content. You know, we have to be humble, and we have to be grateful for what people are able to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We always have to be grateful. Yeah, they may not be able to do what you want them to do, but they're willing to do something for you. Be grateful.
Amen.
Amen. It's the family of believers. Let's give the humble heart, but also let's receive with a humble heart.
Right.
And finally, as Paul said, it is no trouble for him to remind you. Let us realize, as we encourage, have fellowship, disciple one another, spend time with one another, that it should be no trouble for none of us to remind each other of God's love.
Amen.
Of God's grace, of God's plan, of God's wisdom, of God's purpose for our life. So let's embrace God for who he is.
He is our creator. He is our father. He is our beginning and our ending. And let's be reminded that this great God thought so much of us that he sacrificed his only son so that you and I could live forever. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.